take a deep breath, take the higher road. That's what they always say, as if they know the way. They won't take it from me. But don't ever doubt yourself, it's life ain't just a dream. You make your own, so kick and scream. The people move alike with a never-ending force. You never had the chance, so what you waiting for? The day has come, my friend, cause this is war.
Welcome to Nurses Out Loud. I am your host, Nurse April, and I have with me my favorite guest, Nurse Shannon. Yes, you are. I mean, we have fun when we have our shows together.
I was thinking that half the time I say I am the ADHD nurse, and then I realized our topic today is sponsored by the mixed up life of ADHD.
That's it.
And ADD, which are characterized in the same. I always say that they're just lazy and they threw us all together.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about living with ADD, ADHD, that thing that they like to label a lot of people as having. I have questions about it, whether or not this was something that was brought to us by maybe diet, medications, different things possibly. But either way, it doesn't matter. A lot of people seem to have it and have to suffer and deal with life in this headspace that we have. So we're going to talk about it. And just as an aside, this podcast has taken 45 minutes just to get started because of the technical difficulties. So you guys, that's how much we love and care for you that we are putting up with this craziness. Technology is not always our friend.
Which is not actually what she said in the throes of it, by the way.
Oh, I know.
It wasn't really expletives.
Oh my gosh. No expletives. But
no.
I felt them inside. I did.
And she said, why do I do this again?
Yes.
Oh yeah, because I love it and the people who
listen. I don't actually.
Oh, okay. But I'm lying. She didn't say that.
I don't love it. You guys, but I've talked about this before. I am not really into, I'm not a talker.
He's lying again.
I'm not.
That's not a trait of ADHD, by the way.
No, I really am more like totally in my head space creating. I am all about creating. And you can't talk a lot when you're trying to design things in your head.
No, but I think this, everyone can attest to the fact that this podcast was a birth that came from your knowledge base and the fire within you.
True.
Of the passion you feel to protect Americans and nurses and all the atrocities that have been happening and ongoing. And
as it turns out, it's not just Americans, because we have a global audience.
Yes,
so
we,
all of everybody,
we
humanity,
do.
We
you do.
Do.
It's not mine. It's
you
yours.
Too. I mean, we've had you on the show now. How many times?
I don't remember.
We love sharing.
My memory
with you.
Is bad. That's a trait of ADHD.
Same, same.
Right.
So we're here and I'm going to just do a little housekeeping. So Nurses Out Loud, we are on air Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time with an encore at 11 p.m. And remember, our shows go to podcast about a day or two after they air. I know you guys hear me say that every week, but that's the truth. Just in case we have some new listeners. What else? Please support our show sponsors. That's what keeps us on the air. And you can actually go to the shop and you can see where there are coupons negotiated on your behalf to get discounts on some of these products. So please, please, please support our show sponsors. We have a new sponsor, ASEA. And so if you go to the shop, you can learn more about ASEA. It's a very interesting new product line that we got a chance to try out a few months back. And we have some really cool stories about how it has helped us in different ways, in ways that we weren't even expecting. And I don't even know if the company knows, but ASEA, so it's a water. It's a special kind of water, though. And so they have other product lines. They have water, and then they have skincare line, and then they have energy drinks. I prefer the water and the skincare line my son is using. So he's 16 years old, dealing with 16-year-old acne. And so he's using their new skincare line. So I'll let you guys know how that turns out. But so far, when we tried the cream that they had, it helped. So it's definitely worth looking into.
Without a prescription.
Yes. Which is nice, right?
It's very nice.
Get Big Pharma out of the way so we can just live our lives. So let's talk about what it's like to live with ADD.
Well, let's talk about how we got to this
Yes, this topic.
Okay, so April and I recently got together. We hadn't seen each other. I kept saying all summer because mm-hmm. it's the end of summer now. It's September 1st. Mm-hmm. It's normally the end. But and we were talking, and there's so much about her and I that are similar because we share this trait, this mm-hmm. character trait known as ADHD. Whereas we've talked in the past about how if you have ADHD, you can pick someone out of a lineup. You can, mm-hmm. you, someone's talking, you're like, oh, they're one of us. Like, mm-hmm. we're alien.
Like,
we're an alien type.
Totally. Like, yes. Nurse Jody. And then she talks about it too.
Oh, she does.
Uh-huh. She's one of us too.
Oh, great. Yeah. All the shit lit on an island together.
Right.
So we finally, I said to her, we should do a show on ADHD mm-hmm. just because it's so prevalent in our society. And most people know someone who either has had it as a child and has outgrown it, or has it as an adult, or likely has it but has never been diagnosed. Mm-hmm. And it's such a common terminology now that every person knows. Sometimes it's a catch-all. People are like, oh, that kid right. must have ADHD just because he's having a fit in the store.
Right.
You know, and it is labeling. My husband, for instance, doesn't, I want to say he doesn't acknowledge that it exists, mm-hmm. but if that could be a possibility, he would absolutely never acknowledge that ADHD exists because mm-hmm. he thinks it's a label. He says, everyone loses their memory sometimes, and everyone has inattentiveness sometimes, and people interrupt sometimes. And just because you put them all in a basket doesn't mean they have a condition
yeah.
that needs medication.
Now that's where I kind of step in and say, I wonder if this became a label because pharma came up with a medication they could sell attached to it. Like before it wasn't so much of an issue, but then they were like, ooh, here's this, you know, great new drug. What do we have Adderall, we have Vyvanse, those two that I know of, and we can charge
Ritalin. That yeah. was the first one.
That's true. That's true.
Still around.
And one other thing, it's familial. It runs in families.
That's what I was going to say. And it comes in family lines that have any psychiatric history, psychiatric history. So if you had a, like in my case, when I've gone back and done a little research, my maternal great grandmother had schizophrenia.
Interesting.
Right. And then going through family lines, there's someone in all of our family members, not all our family members. How do I say, like, my mom had three children and someone within all of our children has something, like I have ADHD. And mm-hmm. so there's a little touch everywhere. Mm-hmm. I have a nephew who's bipolar. You know, there's something there, but it doesn't have to be a devastating diagnosis of a psychiatric disorder. Mm-hmm. But, and I don't want to say that I'm an expert and say when I say it tends to fall in families, they do find it's not caused by trauma to the head.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's tends to be familial, like they can genetically find a thread of something mm-hmm. where it leads into it.
Interesting that you say that, because I also have a family history of psychiatric illnesses. Like my grandmother was actually hospitalized for 7 years.
Wow.
Right. She had a nervous breakdown back when they used to call it a nervous breakdown. Yeah. I don't know what they call it anymore, but for 7 years. Yeah. And other people in the family have psychiatric illnesses. So my brother, when he was younger in school, the school said he had ADD and he needed to be on medications. My parents absolutely refused. They weren't going to play that game. And I can say that I definitely saw that in him. And I think that not treating it was worse, in my opinion. And I've read and done a lot of research on this because I also have children with it. And I didn't even know I had it until
you
somebody
diagnosed
who had it.
One of your children.
No, somebody who had it diagnosed me.
Oh, you're kidding.
Like you said, we can pick each other out, right? Yeah. And so she was like, oh, you do. And so I went to actually see a psychologist or psychiatrist, I don't know. And they did all the testing and yes. And so it was at that point that I realized, and one of my kids had already been diagnosed with it. And then that's when I started to like think back on, you know, my life growing up. And I was like, man, because once I started taking medicine for it, I was able to accomplish so much. And actually not being on medication anymore, I definitely see the difference in the way that I'm able to focus enough to get things done.
And so I mean, I have a lot of thoughts about ADHD because when you have it, it's a part of your daily life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's a struggle every day. I don't even know what a normal brain would be like right. to be in it because my brain is a race car.
Yeah.
It's got a revving engine. My ex-husband used to say there was a remote control in my head and it was constantly changing channels.
Oh.
And that is a great analogy.
Yeah, it is.
Because you can bounce between different topics without missing a beat, but yep. you may not remember the original topic you were talking about, which means you may not finish what you started.
Hello. That's the thing that got my diagnosis. I had started assisting in surgery. And in order to do this, you got to be able to get paid. And you have to, you know, go through this whole long process and get credentialed with insurance companies. And I was assisting in surgery. And when I thought about the idea of going through that process, I couldn't even, I like just doing a quick Google search. And I was so overwhelmed that I was like, I'm not doing it. And she was like, yeah, no. Like, you can't not get paid for your work. You can't do the work then. And it was just, I was so overwhelmed with the amount of information that was coming at me that I just shut down. And she was like, yeah, no, that's not going to work. And thankfully, at that time, I did start taking Vyvanse and I was able to get it done and, you know, make a career out of it. But I mean, and I hate, okay, everybody knows also that I hate drugs. So I have like wiped everything out of my life. I'm not taking them anymore, but I can't lie and say that it didn't help because it did help.
And that medication in the way that it is taken, some drugs have dual action for, you know, seizure medication also helps with migraines.
Mm-hmm.
That it was a quality of life medication. It wasn't because you had a rash
mm-hmm.
or you were sleepless.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally a 24/7 condition.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like you're going to die from it.
Right.
But literally every aspect of your life, people who do not have ADHD, and who knows if my husband will eventually hear this to really know, because I don't talk about it anymore. Mm-hmm. And I just try to, when I say treat the symptoms, it's not like your symptoms are contagious.
Right.
But thank goodness for smartphones. I don't know what people did before 2011.
Right.
They invested in the post-it note industry and they covered their walls
True.
With post-its or wrote on their hands. I can't tell you. I can remember to this day, I used to write on my wrist. But until I was diagnosed and went backwards to realize why I did what I did or mm-hmm. when I was in school, how I got through it,
mm-hmm.
it's just amazing. Or that the business that I own alone, mm-hmm. running a corporation by myself,
mm-hmm.
the only reason I can do it is because I have ADHD.
Because, like, you can wear all those different hats.
There is a book that, of course, I should have researched first to remember what the name was. I'll have to look it up while you're talking.
Mm-hmm.
It's in my audiobook list. It's about ADHD and learning to look at it as if it's a trait, a mm-hmm. character trait, instead of something that brings you down, because there's so much about it that makes daily life a challenge for memory or having conversations where you don't talk too fast or interrupt or go on a tangent where no one can get a word in edgewise. Or then at night when you're exhausted, you can't fall asleep because your race car brain does not shut off until 3 o'clock in the morning, but mm-hmm. you have to get up at 6 a.m. And yet when you get up at 6 a.m., you feel refreshed.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very strange.
For me, it kicks in like, okay, so I'm very, very creative and artistic. I just want to make things. That's where my headspace is. I'm constantly just making things in my head. And in those moments, I'm fine with it. And I think that's actually why, I think that's why, well, at least a lot of people that I know who have it are creative people. So that's where I get into this space where, is it really a problem or is it just a personality type? Like, do we just have a certain type of personality or the way our brain works in this creative space where we're not going to be rigid and, you know, follow all the rules and stay in our seat and do all the things that they want us to do, because that's just not how we're made.
Right. And having to acknowledge that you're a little bit different when we see it through the eyes of a child.
Mm-hmm.
And a child who associates their actions with who they are as a person, and someone saying, why can't you do this? Or why are you getting bad grades? Or how come you can focus on video games, but you can't focus on this other thing, when their mind is really interest based. They find joy in working with clay, let's say, but they don't find joy in doing math. They're not interested in math. Mm-hmm. It's such a different animal, and they're constantly learning different ways around this. But mm-hmm. between you and I, we were talking about the different things we've tried, you know, like I would love it if my mind would just calm down. If too many things come at me at once, it's really hard for me to stay on a path.
Yeah.
And I have tried hypnotherapy. I have tried recently CBD, mm-hmm. very recently. I tried medication. The medication I tried was Adderall. Mm-hmm. And that was right after I was diagnosed. I was diagnosed when my twins were 7 and they are now 23. So okay. It was a very long time ago. Mm-hmm. 23 minus 7. Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you. 16 years ago, the medication made me feel not like myself mm-hmm. at all. Mm-hmm. And it was one of my neighbors that said to me, she knew I was taking something. She said, you know, if the medication is going to make you a different person than who you are, it's not worth taking it.
Mm-hmm. That was nice.
And it was true. I felt like I was so slow. Mm-hmm. It's really slowed me down. It could have been a dosage adjustment. I mean, I just taken it. It takes a while to get the right adjustment, mm-hmm. but I haven't tried another medication since then.
Now, I was actually just talking to one of my colleagues at work, and she was talking about, and I overheard her. She was talking to somebody else, but she was talking about her taking her Vyvanse. And then she was talking about drinking some Starbucks. And so then we started talking, and I was like, okay, I used to do that. And that is the worst combination, Starbucks and Vyvanse. Because you will start tremors and shaking that you can't control. So it's like, I used to be trying to like sew up a wound or whatever. And I'm like, I'm not nervous.
I didn't drink before I came in
exactly.
here.
Exactly. And I was like, okay.
Patients looking at it like, this zigzag pattern is very cool.
It was like still a beautiful closure. But I was like having to tell myself from note to self, don't drink Starbucks when you take your Vyvanse, which is for
or
people.
Cold brew Starbucks.
Oh god!
After 12 o'clock?
No, because the caffeine along with the Vyvanse for me was making me feel like my heart was going to jump out of my chest. Yeah, so definitely. And then I stopped drinking it, and I also lowered my dosage. So Vyvanse, just like Adderall, is dosage. You know, you go up or down depending on
and
what.
And it takes a while to go up and down.
Yeah. Well, I started off higher. And then came down all the way down to, I think before I finally stopped taking it, I was like taking 30 or maybe 40 milligrams. And I think the most I've heard anybody take was 70. Mm-hmm. They'll start at 10 because when my kids were first given it, they were like, start at 10. It doesn't, 10 doesn't work for anybody, but we'll slowly go up by 10. So my one son went up to 20 and then he hated it. Oh my goodness. So first of all, this medication is expensive. Even with insurance, I was paying.
It's not as a generic yet?
No.
I know.
It's been on the market for these 15 years. Pharmaceutical.
Oh my God.
Parasites are what they are. So they'll always find a way to keep something under patent. They'll find a way. They'll just change one thing. But yeah, so $400 a month, $300 to $400 a month. And that was for two of us. Okay, so now you're looking at, I think it was $300. So $600 a month just for Vyvanse. For him, he hated it. I used to find
that. Hated it, not because of the cost. He's a kid. He could care less.
He didn't like how it made him feel.
Mm.
And he would take and pretend like he was taking it. And then I found them in the garbage disposal.
The expensive pill exactly. in the garbage disposal. And there was money in the garbage disposal.
And then the other issue was it makes you not want to eat. It takes away your appetite.
Oh.
So Vyvanse is also used for people who want to lose weight.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Weight loss.
And so for a child.
But there's side effects, like sexual side effects.
Are there?
Most psychiatric medications, mm-hmm. it's a psychiatric medication.
Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons why I didn't want to take it.
Mm-hmm.
Not because I'm a hypersexual person, but I'm married.
Right.
It just.
Yeah.
Would not be happy. He totally would be like. Not only is it a label, but what's up? So
right.
It's bad enough that I was taking a migraine medication as a suppressant, as a psychiatric medication. Mm-hmm. I am on the absolute lowest I could possibly get away with and still not have migraines.
Mm-hmm.
God, it's still a psychiatric medication.
Yeah.
That's the one I'm taking. Uh-huh. I mean, I'm taking a psychiatric medication. Yeah. It's an anti-seizure medication, mm-hmm. but it's so far not causing an issue. but I'd love to be off of it.
Mm, yeah. Yeah.
Because every single one of them has a side effect like that. I mean, there's other side effects. That. Yeah.
Because I've never had any issues with
and difficulty sleeping if you take it at night.
Yes. If you take it too late, like I would take mine first thing in the morning. And a friend of mine who is the one who diagnosed me in the beginning, she would wake up, set her alarm to wake up at like 5 a.m., maybe 4 a.m. so she could take her Vyvanse and go back to sleep for a little while before it kicked in, or else she wouldn't be able to sleep at night. And I definitely know if I took it past a certain time, I wasn't going to sleep. I was.
That means if you want a stable night to work on your bodies. For those of you who don't know, she makes bodies.
But that's the thing. I don't need Vyvanse to work on a body. That's the creative
part. No, but so if you stayed up for 24 hours, you'd start to feel tired around 3 or 4. I know this because I stay up in the middle of the night.
Yeah. But when I'm working on art projects and stuff, I don't need it. I can stay up because my mind is so excited and focused that it gives me energy. So it's like I can work and work and work without it. But with it, now here's one of the downsides. It makes you hyper-focused. So you're focusing on details and you'll keep working and working and working when you normally would be like, forget it. It doesn't matter. Move on. No, you're going to be so hyper-focused on this little speck of dust and you have to get that speck of dust to go away or you
can't
move
on. To the point that you won't pee or eat.
Yes.
Or drink water.
Yeah. All the, yep. All of it.
Okay. So let's back up because some people have fallen asleep because we're talking about meds.
True.
So let's start with this. If you're wondering if you have ADHD or if one of your children does, or you're just curious, like, so what's the big deal? What are some of the character traits of having it?
All right.
Speak from personal experience. Like I made a list. I asked April to make a list of the things that she experiences when having this, whether the positive or negative.
She told me to make a list.
And you didn't make a list?
I got busy with doing other things.
Wait, I think I wrote down. Somewhere.
With this, which is totally part of my issue. And my husband was like you, your husband. He didn't want to hear it. He didn't believe it until he started to live with me and see it and was like, okay, so yeah.
My husband lives with me and sees it.
Well, but he just not doesn't care. Oh, but you're no. not. So he saw the difference between when I was on the medicine and when I wasn't. And he's, yeah. And he also saw my son. So here's one thing. Okay.
We're jumping around ADHD. Get back.
But I will say this. There is, there's Russell A. Barkley. He's a PhD. He has done a tremendous amount of research. And I used to watch a lot of his videos, his lectures. And what I love about him is that he doesn't dumb it down for people. He speaks science to the general population to understand what ADHD is. And he says it's a terrible label. He actually petitioned to try to get the name changed because he says it has nothing to do with attention deficit. It's an executive functioning disorder.
Exactly right.
Yeah, he is brilliant. I bought some of his books and I mean, his lectures are great. So I recommend anybody go onto YouTube and look up Russell A. Barkley to learn more because it helps a lot as a parent of a child with ADHD. But one of the things that he said was when you don't treat them, then it can progress to other things like
sensitivity.
It can. Some people end up with bipolar, but other people, and what I started to notice in my own child was oppositional defiance disorder.
Oh, God, yes.
So it goes from just being ADD to being, and I saw the same thing in my brother. And so you become defiant and oppositional. And I saw that in my son. And what he says, and it's true because I saw it happen, it's not just medication. It's actual behavioral therapy that these people like us have to go through when you get to that point. And it was my husband coming along who is so patient and consistent that was able to kind of calm things down. Because when you have a parent with ADD and a child with ADD, it becomes explosive and everyone's very emotional, short temper, and it becomes difficult. It becomes a difficult relationship to parent in, and having someone who's calm and who can take that and just take it and swallow it. And it's a,
and some people are diagnosed with mood disorders that eventually they're put into the category of having something like ADD or ADHD after years of being treated differently or medicated incorrectly.
That's interesting. 'Cause when I was early on, the doctors always said, oh, you just have depression. Oh, you have seasonal affective disorder. And I'm like, well, none of the depression medications helped. Being out in the sun helps, definitely. So that's one of the reasons why I moved to Texas, because I wanted to be in the sun more. But ultimately, what ended up helping for me was when I started taking the Vyvanse, which I don't take anymore. And I found a workaround, which is do what you love. Do what you love.
Doesn't everybody wish they could do that?
I know. I'm sorry.
And make sure the thing you love makes lots of money.
Well,
because we do live in the U.S. right now.
Yeah. Well, mine doesn't, but it used to. It doesn't anymore, but I still love it. So I can do it.
And yours is
going to
pay off.
Yeah. One day.
I know. Okay. All right. So some traits that I feel are negative.
Okay.
At least from my, because I don't know what other people do. I only mine. Interrupting.
Oh, yeah.
I have to consciously make myself not interrupt. And that's because with a brain that moves very fast and a tendency to forget, if I really want to say something to April right now and I don't have a pen in my hand to make a note of it, if I don't say it in this moment, I literally will not remember what I was going to say 10 seconds ago. Mm-hmm. And that is the primary reason why people that have ADHD or ADD will interrupt.
That's a big thing, too.
It is. It's a big, annoyingly, very rude thing. Mm-hmm. I literally have trained, and I'm not, it's not perfect. Mm-hmm. But again, it's one of those traits that you really have to work at to make yourself notice that you're doing it. It was from people like my husband saying, you interrupted a lot tonight. It was from hearing, noticing, seeing something on video and then saying, oh my God.
Yeah.
And feeling embarrassed to make the correction in yourself and to realize why you're doing it, right?
Interesting. Yeah.
Forgetfulness, sleeplessness, race car mind. I have something called, it's a sensitivity, rejection sensitivity, which is also any kind of sensitivity, sensitivity to texture.
Mm-hmm.
So like tags, cut the tags out of everything, like things that are really soft. There's a joke between my family, anything that's soft, suave, very soft, like soft things. But any anything on my skin, like sweat, rolling down, rain, crying, any feeling, like nails on a blackboard. I can't stand it.
That's interesting because that's what causes some of the friction between the parent-child relationship is this hypersensitivity.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's to noise.
Yes.
Or conversation. Yep, light conversation. That's why that's in one area. I don't know if that's an ADD thing or if that is like a personality thing. Because sometimes I tell my husband who's super sensitive to sounds. I'm like, either you are autistic or you have ADD. I don't know.
Or he has very sensitive hearing.
He might.
Which is not a label. We can make it a label just to make him feel like you.
Right.
Like when we go, so we have a dimmer in our bathroom and I am just always more comfortable with the dimmer down in the bathroom while I'm getting ready in the morning. He's like, how can you see? He has to put contacts in. He can't. He has to, I'm like, oh my God, it's so bright. I'm going to melt.
Yes.
Or in my teaching space that I have in beautiful California, I only turn half the lights on.
Okay.
It almost like it's an ambiance, but then learning more about it, it's a light sensitivity.
Yep.
It's just who I am, but it's the, if anyone picks on me or my husband, he's very sensitive about it now. He'll say, listen, I need to say something and I want you to know I love you no matter what. And I'm not saying this because I'm upset with you, but you left the keys to the house in the front door lock again. So we need to find a way. But don't get, I'm not upset with you. Don't go into the pits of despair for the rest of the night.
Ooh, that's, I have a kid like that.
Yes, that's the sensitivity. So owning my own corporation and dealing with clients, you learn to be, I was just reading an article today when I was doing the research coming here that some people become people pleasers because they don't want to deal with negativity with people, which is hard to do as a nurse. You deal with negativity all the time.
Right.
But then you learn to bounce back with super sugar.
Being extra sweet. I'm going to have to go to break real quick, but on the other side of the break, we'll keep talking about this because that's fascinating. And that hypersensitivity to criticism is a struggle that I have with one of my kids. So on the other side of this break, stay tuned.
It's time and this is
This is Jodi O'Malley with Nurses Out Loud. Did you know our body is made up of trillions of cells, and inside each cell, redox signaling molecules are produced? These molecules hold a sacred place in chemistry because as we age, the vital communication of our immune system to keep our bodies free from harmful bacteria, viruses, and toxins become less efficient. For the first time ever, ASEA brings you the power of these molecules in a convenient and potent form to provide your body with the essential support it needs to thrive. Ever since I toured their facility, I take 2 ounces in the morning and evening, and my vitality and energy has been restored at a time I needed it the most. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop and get your exclusive 15% discount by using the code OUTLOUD.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. Be a part of a revolutionary new healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interests of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
For 25 years, Global Healing has proudly produced the highest quality supplements and cleansing programs that are rooted in nature and backed by science. Get 15% off all of our products using code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
With the rise of independent media, we are now AmericaOutloud.news. Well, the genius of the United States is not found in its executives or legislatures, nor its ambassadors, authors, colleges, or churches, nor even in its newspapers or inventors. The genius of the United States is we the people. AmericaOutloud.news. Liberty and justice for all.
Hey, welcome back to Nurses Out Loud. I am your host, Nurse April, and today I also have my friend, Nurse Shannon, and we are talking about living with ADHD. And before the break, we were talking about this hypersensitivity to criticism, which I didn't realize was a trait for ADHD, but I have a child who is very, very hypersensitive to criticism, and her dad is too. And I thought that was more of a personality trait for maybe some other personality disorders, but maybe not. Maybe she does have some.
So let me read what this says. What is rejection sensitivity? Rejection sensitivity dysphoria, or RSD, is an intense vulnerability to the perception, not necessarily the reality, of being rejected, teased, or criticized by important people in your life. Mm. RSD causes extreme emotional pain that may also be triggered by a sense of failure or falling short, failing to meet either your own high standards or others' expectations. Wow. A primitive reaction that people with ADHD often struggle to describe. They say, I can't find the right words to tell you what it feels like, but I can't hardly stand it. People who experience RSD as physical pain, like they've even been stabbed or struck in the center of their chest. Often this intense emotional reaction is hidden from other people. People experiencing it don't want to talk about it because of the shame they feel about their lack of control, or because they don't want people to know about their intense vulnerability.
Mm.
I can remember, even up until recently, when I can tell that my reaction to something that my husband and I, you know, couples, whatever, have an argument about something, he said something and it hurt my feelings.
Yeah.
Inside of me, I know that my reaction was way over the top to the point where he went to bed and I could not fall asleep. And I'm literally in my office stewing about it, saying to myself, this is in your head.
Mm.
Take a step back. This is not a big deal to you.
Mm-hmm.
You need to just drink some water, do some yoga or something, and go to bed.
That sounds familiar.
And I make myself in the morning apologize because I know that in that instance, it's very likely that it was my not that the incident wasn't something we should have argued about, mm-hmm. but my reaction to it was like gasoline mm-hmm. and a match. Instead of, you know, a drop of gasoline,
yeah.
it was, I threw a flamethrower on it.
Yeah.
Yes. And that's what this, when I found this, mm-hmm. when I was doing the research, not for this, but back when I was diagnosed, mm-hmm. I read all the little threads that come off of ADHD that people can have. And when I hit this, it was like 25 light bulbs went off. Mm-hmm. You know, when you learn something about yourself, it could be something personal that you witnessed as a child that you know now why you sleep with the light on mm-hmm. or why you will never let your child take the bus or why you homeschool them. It could be something deeply personal that you may not even remember the actual incident that happened, but it's there. When you finally connect it, it's life-changing.
Interesting.
Right? I always thought that I cut the tags out. Like literally, if I'm wearing a pair of underwear and it's new or something and has a scratchy tag, I cannot focus.
Yeah.
I will take my underwear off in the bathroom and throw it in the garbage and then continue teaching. April is raising her hand right now.
I'm done wearing
Seriously.
It.
Seriously. Yeah. Because if you pull the tag out, it will still have the seams on the side. Yep. I cannot, or I'll put a Band-Aid over it. Mm-hmm. I carry Band-Aids with me. Mm-hmm. That's how much I can't stand tags or a thread scratching, or it is the strangest thing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I'm you know, saying. People knowing this about me would think I'm a total weirdo, but if you see me in person, you would never know. And I talk for a living in front of people, mm-hmm. sometimes hundreds of people, thousands of people, and I can hyper-focus. I remember there was a time where someone I knew had passed away just the day before, and I was so distraught, but I couldn't cancel the presentation that I had to do to this group.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to compartmentalize my grief, yeah. as long as it didn't get triggered
yep.
in my conversation that I was having. And I was able to get through the entire thing as if I was having an out-of-body experience. And that is a trait of ADHD.
I didn't know that. Because mm-hmm. I can do that where I can handle a traumatic experience or a really stressful situation because I can really hyper-focus on it and not get overwhelmed with the emotion behind it. It takes a few days for me. Like if something crazy happens, it'll take a few days for me to process it, to finally grieve it, or, you know, really experience the emotions, the proper emotions I'm supposed to have, which is not good for, you know, when you're trying to relate to people and they're like, you're so cold. And I'm like, I'm not, I'm really
desensitized.
Not. Yeah. Yeah. I just, you know,
I just do what I do.
Just as a survival mechanism, I think it's yeah. just to get by. But what you're saying is interesting because, so there's a fact sheet that is, online for anybody who wants to. Dr. Russell Barkley put up there. And so he put some of the major characteristics of it. And the predominant features of this disorder include impaired response inhibition, impulse control, or the capacity to delay gratification. And so that's the first one. Because really what he's saying and he's trying to press is this executive functioning disorder. So mm-hmm. you don't have the ability to do the things you're supposed to do or to say no to yourself. So one of the symptoms of people with ADD is they're very impulsive.
Yes.
Do like crazy things like, you know, just one of the things he said is if you have a teenager who is learning how to drive, never let them drive if they're not on their medication, you know, because they're going to be more impulsive. They're not going to focus. They're going to do things that are unsafe. I wasn't that kind of teenager, but one of the other things that he talks about is excessive task, irrelevant activity or activity that is poorly regulated to the demands of a situation. Task irrelevant. You know, so, and I think that's why people who have ADHD will wait till the last minute to complete anything because we're focused on irrelevant things.
Shiny object.
Yes. Like totally doesn't matter. Like
squirrel,
you know, there's a fold in this piece of paper. I have to turn this paper in, but there's a fold in it and it doesn't matter, but I'm going to work and I'm going to do all these things to find a different piece of paper or do all these other things that don't make any, you know, any doesn't make a difference.
And in an ADHD mind, because it's hard to accomplish tasks, we tend to do everything as a layer on top of each other.
Yes.
So if I'm at the bottom of the stairs and I need to go up, I'm going to try to carry every single thing, everything yeah. in one trip. Mm-hmm. Whereas a normal human would say, I'll just make a couple of trips.
Yes.
But I know myself mm-hmm. very well. And I know that if I get to the top of the stairs, I will not remember
Hello.
To go back down because I will see that shiny object yeah. and say, I didn't put that piece of laundry away.
Right.
What is that on the carpet? Mm-hmm. Then when I go to the carpet, I'll remember that the TV is still on or something.
Yeah. And my husband calls it a lazy load. Like you just, you know, carry everything with you all at one time. But it's really true. Like you just mm-hmm. don't.
It's a character trait. Forget. So remember, if we go way back to the beginning of this conversation that we call mm-hmm. a podcast, ADHD patients, I would say people that have ADHD, constantly find ways to live life normally mm-hmm. with daily regular processes mm-hmm. that normal, I put my quotation marks up, we are normal people.
Right.
We live and breathe just like everybody else. We smile and cry and but we'll cry more often than you, whatever. But just getting from point A to point B mm-hmm. in the middle, I won't remember driving because in the middle, I will let people talk on the phone to people, but if I don't talk to people, I will think of 10,000 other things yeah. and I'll be trying to write on a post-it mm-hmm. while I'm driving with my right hand mm-hmm. or, you know, there's mm-hmm. a constant need to not forget.
Yeah.
But in the process, while someone is talking, you're already thinking about the next thing yep. you're going to say yep. because you think you won't remember mm-hmm. or in the middle of something really important, your mind strays.
Here's another one. This is number three, poor sustained attention or persistence of effort to tasks. This problem often arises when the individual is assigned boring, tedious, protracted, or repetitive activities that lack intrinsic appeal to the person. They often fail to show the same level of persistence, stick-to-itiveness, motivation, and willpower of others their age when uninteresting yet important tasks must be performed. So that my son. He won't do it. If he's bored by it, he will not do it. And so he's super, super bright. Always has been very smart. Like, wow. You know, everybody thinks their kid is really smart, but really he is. And that's another trait of ADHD people is that they are really smart. Not to toot our own horns.
But. Yes. And people with ADHD can read good people. They have a sixth sense about when someone is being honest.
Yeah.
They can really dig. It's almost like there's a layer around everyone mm-hmm. and people who are, can I swear on this?
Yeah.
People are bullshitting.
Yeah.
It's like we have a bullshit meter,
yeah.
which means the current administration,
oh my
meter is like, it's about to blow the top explode. Off my head.
That is actually why and it's so true. I tell my husband this again. I really do. I can pick up on people who are sincere and who are insincere. And this That's why I really like Vivek Ramaswamy. I don't know if you've been following mm-hmm. him, but
I think he
is going to be an excellent candidate. I hope we can get him at least onto the ticket. I like Trump. Oh, I do. And if he and Trump were to combine forces, like that would be a great VP pick. Now, he's not trying to be VP, which is fine. I think he has some plans to make him an excellent president. Off topic. Sorry. I just had watched a video with him on there and I was just, I'm always impressed by him. I think that Vivek has some plans for our country that would push us in the right direction. But I don't even know why.
But now her ADHD is going to bring her back on topic.
Oh, yeah. Because I was just saying, like, I can tell he's not a BSer. Like he is very blunt, says what he thinks. He doesn't care what other people think about what he thinks. And I love that about him. I love that about Trump. Like, say what you mean what you say. Don't manipulate me. Give me the respect to make a decision. Like, if you want me to buy your product, be honest about your product and I'll buy it mm-hmm. if I want it. But don't manipulate me into buying a piece of crap that, you know, just.
Well, and on the same coin, right? So, and I'm thinking we don't really talk to these politicians. Thank God I might poke somebody in the eye and get arrested. But, mm-hmm. you know, daily living. Dealing with a checker at the grocery store or anything like that, but even tables turned, it makes you treat people more genuinely mm-hmm. because you're constantly seeking for that person who is genuine. Mm-hmm. You can spot yes. someone who is not genuine. You can spot someone who's lying.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You have a lying meter.
So true.
Right?
So,
so
true.
When you deal with a patient, like I always say at work that I should be the care nurse because I really find that I give more focus to how comfortable they are or how they're feeling in the moment. Mm-hmm. because most, I would say most, that's terrible for me to say. There are healthcare providers. I like to say that they've been a nurse for too long, mm-hmm. but there are some wonderful nurses that have been a nurse for too long. Just brush people over.
Yeah.
They make sure there's no clocks in the room so that they can't notice how long they've been waiting.
Oh.
Yeah. Or amazing what a warm blanket can do for someone,
yeah.
you know,
so true.
But the person's saying, I'm cold. And they're like, listen, I got to finish this or the doctor's never going to come. And 5 minutes doesn't really mean 5 minutes. I mm-hmm. hate when practitioners say 5 minutes.
Right.
And so then if I come back in the room, I'm like, listen, it's probably not going to be 5 minutes, mm-hmm. but I promise I will come back and I will either come eyes on you through the glass doors or what it, right now, your family member, do you want some tea? You would talk to me?
Which is so important as an ER
yes.
nurse.
Or even just as a human. They're sitting in here for hours.
Yeah. They don't treat us like humans in the ER though.
Right. And that's part of ADHD and having the empathy to mm-hmm. treat people like they are human and why it upsets us when we see people not being treated fairly
because
there's this meter inside. That's why I say there's so much about ADHD that is a positive.
Mm-hmm.
And so yet true. There's so much for all the positive. God should cut us a break and give us some easier because geez, my phone, I have, you know, we all have a notes app in our phone.
Yes.
I must have, not kidding, 500 oh. notes. In my phone.
I just worry about my notes app because I'm like, all of my secrets are in my notes app.
I'm more worried that because, you know, I pay for mine because I have an Android and it doesn't come with a notes app, but that it comes with Apple, mm-hmm. even though I really can't stand Apple products. I do wish it came with a notes app mm-hmm. that if something was wrong with my Google Pay account or something and it didn't get refreshed, mm-hmm. that I'd lose my notes.
Yeah.
I would die.
Yeah.
Because I literally look at it 5,000 times a day. Mm-hmm. I write everything down.
Yeah.
My husband remembers everything in his head. Quote, normal people, mm-hmm. you tell them something and most of the time they remember unless they're a teenager. Mm-hmm. They remember, right? But I can't. Yeah. And I feel accomplished if I can.
Yeah, same.
And many people don't realize that.
So what's interesting is that my dad, growing up, always kept a notebook in his pocket and he was always writing notes in it. So looking back on it, now I see he had it too. For sure. My dad has ADD. He has. Yes.
Have you ever sat down and talked to him about how he felt when he was young? And
no, I haven't.
This drug is real.
Right. But that's how he, and he's always been successful at accomplishing things. I don't know how my dad remembers the things that he remembers, but he always keeps notes with him. And I think that's why I would love to like have a collection of all of his notes from all of the years, but he would always keep. So that's one of those things that, you know, that was one of his workarounds to get by is using mm-hmm. notepads and taking notes like you. One of the other things it says in this fact sheet is difficulties with regulation of emotions, motivation, and arousal. Children and adults with ADHD often have problems inhibiting their emotional reactions to events, as well as do others of their age. It is not that the emotions they experience are inappropriate, but that those with ADHD are more likely to publicly manifest the emotions they experience than with someone else. They seem less able to internalize their feelings, to keep them to themselves, and even to moderate them when they do, as others might do. Oh my goodness, I'm reading about my children right now.
Not yourself?
Not myself. No.
Oh my gosh.
So that is, because I don't want people to know that part of me. I don't want people to see my emotions and then try to manipulate me, or I don't want to embarrass myself. I feel like it would embarrass me if somebody saw me like lose
control
of my emotions.
I'm very into control for sure. Yes.
Whereas my kids are, you know, they're not mature enough to understand that. So I have one who's hyper emotional. You can't say anything to her negative without her flipping. And then another one who he's the same, but he'll internalize it. He'll get mad. You can see it all over his face. And so that is a trait that it must come from the ADD.
I need to look up that book. At some point, I'm going to look up the book.
And I'll put it in the show notes for anybody who's interested. Russell A. Barkley. Great. I mean, he has a lot of books, and he has a lot of resources online that you can look at because, you know, when you're trying to raise a child with it, it's not easy.
Mm-mm.
It's definitely
not easy.
Hearing from the teacher and, you know, they're not doing what they need to be doing, but yeah.
Yeah, and deadlines. So sometimes I'll have a client that says, hey, could you get this to me at some point? And I, knowing myself, will mm-hmm. say, do you know when you're going to need that? oh, you know, whenever. And I'll say to them, no, literally, can you just put a date on that?
Yeah.
Because if you say whenever, mm-hmm. my brain will put it in the never category.
Right.
Yeah. Or when you say things that we don't like, mm-hmm. taxes. Oh.
Yeah.
Forget it. I'm pretty good at doing my QuickBooks mm-hmm. because I try to do a little all the time, mm-hmm. but it's not my favorite thing for sure, but I'm getting better at it.
I'm terrible at it.
But tax, I am my own business. Yeah. So anything related to tax, if I don't make a note of it, keep track of something, save the receipt yeah. in a file or something. Most people with ADHD have lots of files. Mm-hmm. They're actually very organized in some ways and very disorganized in others.
Yeah.
So if you go into my closet at home, you would find it the opposite of the way my computer files are, mm-hmm. which would be atrocious mm-hmm. in my closet. But yet there's a plan in my closet. My husband has built shelves. Oh. I have a little vanity organizer I just got when I came home from being on a business trip recently. He had actually put a little handle on it because he felt the magnet was too strong, and he put a little tape over it Aww. For me to make it a softer magnet. Ask so me if sweet. Any of my jewelry is in it.
Uh-oh.
Nope. It's all yeah. over the shelves. That's what I mean. And yet I want it to be organized, and Same. Then I'll clean it and get it organized. And he'll say, let's write down what the date is and see how long it takes for you to reverse everything you just did.
So I think, because I struggle with that so bad. Like if you look in our closet, my husband's side is so nice
That's
and so organized.
Color coordinated.
Yeah. My side is a hot mess.
Totally.
And I'm so embarrassed that he even has to share this space with me. But it depends on where my mind is, because if my mind is uncluttered, I can organize. Like I love organization. It makes
when
me feel
When is your
peaceful.
Mind uncluttered?
It comes in cycles where I can say, okay, I'm focused. I'm going to clean up my life, because if I don't clean up my life, I'm going to lose my mind. And so I'll go, like, I focused on clearing out all of my kitchen, like, cabinets, because I said, okay, we're going to live like we're in an Airbnb. Hmm. If it can't fit in a spot on the shelf, it can't stay. And I got rid of
You must
of
be
two.
Related to my husband.
Well, only, see, my husband says I'm always getting new things and bringing new things in, and it drives him crazy. And so I do have this problem where I will just like, oh, we need this, we need this, we need this. And then it gets so cluttered that you can't keep things organized. And so in order to keep things organized, if there's not a spot for it, and I had to watch this on a YouTube video, because we had just gotten back, David and I had went to Galveston and stayed at an Airbnb. And I was like, it's, and anytime you stay at one, they're always so
Anytime
organized.
You're not at home.
Yes, true. It's always so organized. And I'm like, if I can't, even my computer, when my desktop is full of clutter, I feel overwhelmed. And my like, I just recently cleaned up my studio because I work from home for the surgery studio making these. And when I'm working on a project and I'm having a deadline, things get crazy and stuff goes everywhere and it's a mess and it's miserable to work in. But it's reflective of my mind. My mind is a miserable place to live in when I have all these thoughts swirling around and I can't keep anything organized. Mm-hmm. It's torture.
It is. Yeah. And I was going to say, when you sit down and you're like, I'm going to do this now, an ADHD mind will be that when you're in the middle of doing it, your husband comes in and says, hey, I meant to ask you a question about something. Mm. And you go, you know what? I think I have that paper in my office. Yes. Hold on a second. And then when you go to your office to get the paper that you end up never getting, you sit down at the computer and there was an alert from QuickBooks. And yeah. then when you click it to find the alert, you realize you didn't categorize everything. Mm-hmm. And then while you're categorizing, your phone rings. Mm-hmm. And then an hour later, you come downstairs and your husband says, where's that paper?
Yep.
And you literally say, damn it. And in his mind, he says, what's so hard about just going up and grabbing the paper?
Yeah.
He literally, in yeah. his calm, calm, dopamine-filled mind.
Right.
Hello. Norepinephrine and dopamine holding hands and yeah. jumping down the path together into the field of sunflowers. Mm-hmm. And mine is just rocky and one of them hates the other one. And one is really tiny and short.
Yes.
And the other one's even, they're almost invisible.
Uh-huh.
Where I just can't.
Yeah.
He'll say, go to the store and only get vanilla.
Yep.
I only need vanilla.
Yeah.
Guess what I come home with? $100 worth of something
yes.
and no vanilla.
Yes. Same.
Totally.
Same.
My intention, I couldn't find the vanilla.
Mm-hmm.
But then I saw that shiny object and then I remembered non-important things.
Yep.
Someday I might want to make pudding from scratch.
Right.
And I've been thinking about it for a long time. Mm-hmm. Why not right now? Why don't I let's look online and find all the ingredients.
Oh.
And he's waiting outside in the parking lot, by the way. This is my story. I'm making it up.
You and I are cut from the same cloth.
I am telling you.
Because my husband will be like, okay, do so. Like yesterday, for instance, we were sitting there on the couch and he was like, I really, really want to watch this thing on Epic Times. It was a documentary they had done. And I was like, okay. And so he was like, but it's only going to work if you do it from your phone. So I have to go on my phone and get it and then cast it. So I go on my phone. And of course.
Oh, God. Oh, my gosh.
I'm distracted by all the things that are not Epic Times. And at one point he's like, did you find it? And I'm like,
what was the question?
No. Oh, shoot. He caught me again because he always knows. Like, did you not find it yet? He knows, like, I'm going to be distracted and do all the other things other than what I was intended to do. And he's sitting there just waiting patiently for me. Like, did you find it yet? I know you got distracted and you went down some other rabbit hole. Please get back on track. And I'm like, okay, yeah, right.
And then then you feel bad.
Yep. Yep.
I feel stupid sometimes. And he hates when I use the word stupid, but I literally go back to being a child.
I don't.
Where... Oh, I do. Trust me. That little part of me with pigtails and buck teeth, that's me.
I own it. I own it. Like,
you're like, that's right. I don't say that.
You know I don't have the attention span.
I go in on my little soap.
What? No, there's so many other things that I need to do. And I got distracted and there was all these text messages and then the email notification. And then I got this notification from this news source. Oh, did you see this? The phone is the devil.
Yeah, my phone says, ADD. My husband says you're always on your phone, but I'd say 80% of it is my notes app and write like, hold on a second. Let me write that down. Hold on. Let me write that down.
Yeah.
So he and I have been married for almost 5 years. In my wedding vows, which were very funny, I said, I vow to hear what you're saying, but forget most of it.
That's awesome.
Because I literally... It's almost like his tone of voice is the type that is invisible to my hearing. Or like I just recently, we're going to get a new car this year at some point. And I own my car that we're using here in Texas. We have another car that we keep in crappy California. And so this is my car and I paid it off. I've never paid off a car from the very beginning from brand new and never like traded it in or anything. And I just made the last payment in January. So I'm owning a car right now with no car payment.
It's the best, isn't it?
We have no car payment right now at all. So he wants to get a brand new car and he might trade my car in if the deal is right, if it's good, right? But I didn't remember. I just said, hey, so the car... What are we going to do with it? And he says, you really don't remember, do you?
Oh.
And I said, I do remember us having a conversation. He goes, but you just, do you choose not to remember it? Or he goes, let me re-explain. His big thing is he'll say, it must be nice to live in a world where you can hear the same story over and over. And I can actually change the story if I want, because you won't remember me ever telling it to you in the beginning.
Send us an email, nurses@americaoutloud.com, and let us know what you do to help you deal with your ADHD. And remember, our show is airing Monday through Friday. So just take a listen. If you forget that it's on the radio, or if you can't, like me, because I'm working, listen to the podcast, like and subscribe. And remember, our goal here is to shine a light in the darkness.
It's time.